Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. It's a Monday. Happy Monday, Brian. How you doing, big guy?
I'm well, but I'd like to no longer
be
referred
to. Brian here, maybe on the.
Brian, you can hear me.
We're got.
I can hear you totally.
Going. Folks, welcome. There we go.
Now
I hear you, big guy. How you
doing? I just wanted to say that I would like to no longer be referred to as just Brian. I would like to be Brian, supporter and follower of the leader of the Village of the Dead. Thank you.
You're going to enunciate it in front of a statewide audience, not a national audience, like a former Packer, but Detroit Lion, Jamal Williams last night. Did you catch that one right away? Did you get that in his introduction, or did you have to watch it a couple times?
The eyes really, really sold it. Just to clue anybody in on what we're talking about, Jamal Williams, we're at a point, guys, and again, I love to bring up the term narrative all the time. But we have so gotten used to stories being part of our lives that we are living a Key and Peele sketch right now. Like, it's come to life. It's really happening. So, you know, in the introduction, when the offense comes out on the field for the first time, we're talking about the Lions and Packers game.
Yeah, the Sunday night football team does a graphic of every single player. They say their name, where they played. Usually, it used to be always where they played in college, but then they kind of were given some flexibility, let's say, and they could say their high school if they wanted to, because not everybody played football collegiately, and some even share their elementary schools now. But last night,
it's funny, and everybody tries to do their own thing, and if you can sell it, it's really awesome. But if you don't have a personality, just say your name and where you came from.
Well, Brian Balaga, Iowa, is still my household's favorite, just the way that he says Iowa. And for the longest time, he was on the Packers and was on the offensive line, and that was Kelsey's favorite part of Sunday Night Football. Brian Balaga, Iowa. And then he went to L.A., and he's been hurt. So most
Not
of the time
Iowa.
When the Chargers have been on, Kelsey's missed out on Brian Balaga saying Iowa. But last night, Jamal Williams took his platform during the finale of the Sunday Night Football season. It was the last Sunday Night Football game of the regular season for the NFL. And he said something, I still don't know, you know it officially. What's the official line that Jamal Williams said for who he was and where he played?
Well, let's play it first, and then we'll break it down.
All right.
Here's what he said. Because again, he personified this person, and because he's saying this with his eyes wide open like he's crazy. And it is fantastic. I love it. Here it is.
First way, Kazukage, leader of the Hidden Village of the Dead.
Leader of the hidden village of the dead.
And he sold the whole damn thing. It was fantastic.
It was.
He gave a bunch of interviews afterwards, and he was, you know, he was crying as well as trolling people.
He scored both of the Lions' touchdowns.
He also broke Barry Sanders' single season record for the Lions. That's amazing. So he was crying about that, and then he turns around and goes, y'all didn't pick us. Nobody picked us. I don't watch TV, but nobody picked us. got you. It was really interesting.
Yeah. And
from a non-Packers fan perspective, it was very
interesting. Even as a Packers fan, I love Jamal Williams. He was a former Packer, and he was an excellent presence in the locker room. The fact that it just didn't line up with salary cap math and everything like that led to his free agency departure to Detroit was unfortunate, but a very fun story to watch, Jamal Williams in his time in Detroit.
Just now he's got a new role.
Yeah.
Leader of the Hidden Village of the
Dead. It's an anime reference. It's fantastic.
Yes.
I don't know anything about that anime, but I know several people who do, and I know that they would be delighted to see that. And my friends who have, I tweeted them, and they said, this is amazing. That's my guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, not a fun outcome for the Green Bay Packers last night on Sunday Night Football. Falling to the Detroit Lions, getting kicked out of playoff contention. Brian, you also are mourning your football team's loss with the New England Patriots also being eliminated from the playoffs. How you doing on this Monday morning with your team?
Well, the Sarah McLachlan is really, really helping this out. I'm working through my my angst through that. No, my Patriots really totally did not play as well as the other team because they're not as good as the other team, and they also did not score as many points as the Bills did. And therefore, they were lost, and they were eliminated from the playoff, similar to the Packers, and it did not work out. And congratulations to the Bears. You are number one.
Yeah, the worst team in the entire league. Congratulations, Chicago. I guess you're going to hang your hat on that one this year. I've got Chicago Bears fans as friends that are like all hyped that they got the number one pick. And I'm like, you do realize you that's the prize you win for being the worst at the game that everybody was playing throughout the entire 18-week season.
That's what they all strove for this. Justin Fields is alive and not dead.
He was projecting it all season long that they were going to be number one. He was wearing the one on his chest the entire time.
The best. Yeah. The best
losers. But yeah, we've got a jam-packed show today full of tangents. It's a Monday afternoon.
Yeah, Aaron.
It's okay. We got Aaron on the board instead of Evan, but we've got a loaded show this Monday afternoon. Aaron, the break doesn't start until 19, buddy. Don't worry, you're not producing the morning shows right now. But we appreciate you filling in for Evan in his absence on this Monday afternoon. But Brian, we.
Now we're talking.
There we go. See, and he goes and completely redeems himself. But we appreciate you being behind those buttons there, Aaron. But a ton of stories happening over the weekend, Brian. As we predicted on Friday, Kevin McCarthy being elected to be the House Speaker. So we're going to get into that as well as a number of other stories. We've got a conservative organization that coordinating school board members in the Wisconsin Dells. We've got an update on family farms here in Wisconsin, specifically dairy farms.
Just so you know, whenever I associate family farms in Wisconsin with closing and failure.
Well, you're not the only one.
Because every single story has been like over and doom and gloom and everything's
and
dead.
We've hit a 3-point high for family farm closures over the last 3 years. So it's
I was hoping I'd be wrong.
It's going to be a heck of a Monday filled with headlines. 844-967-2789. If you want to join, share a tangent with us, take us down a path of a story that you found relevant over the weekend. Again, that number 844-967-2789. You can call or text. But Brian, let's start with where we left off on Friday.
Yeah, the path of least resistance.
Well, it was pretty resistant, though. It took 15 votes for Kevin McCarthy to get it.
Like a congealed slime, you have to go and kind of, you know, break yourself apart, split yourself in several different ways, and pretty much compromise your entire structure, bodily structure, to fit through the grate, but then you come back together on the other side. It's fine when you have no spine or any sort of, you know, bones to hold your structure together. You can just sift through the grate that is the Freedom Caucus or whatever the heck they want to call themselves. What I can tell you is,
you think it's a grate, not a meat processor, because it looked like a meat processor.
You know what? It doesn't matter to the slime. It's not like you're going to congeal it or make it like different consistency.
Democracy's messy, according to Representative Gallagher. This is how it's supposed to look. A midnight vote on Friday evening when most of America has gone to bed or no longer focused on the speaker's election. That's when it's supposed to happen, according to Mike Gallagher of Green Bay.
Now they can get to the really important task of not governing. Which is
they're going to face their first hurdle in that today, Brian, with coming up and voting on a rules package, because the vote was so late on Friday night that they didn't even get. Normally, you vote for the speaker, you vote for the rules package, all done. But it got so late on Friday, they voted for the speaker and then they adjourned because it was so late in the evening they weren't going to do rules then. So
isn't one of the crazy towns going to be on the rules committee now?
Oh, I think there's more than one. I think there's at least three. Wrong.
That's gonna be expedited. I can tell you that.
Oh, and there's a 3-page hidden document apparently for all the concessions that Kevin McCarthy made. So I'm waiting for that one to become public and see all of the things that he truly did to bend and twist to their will for Matt Gaetz and the other holdouts on Friday evening.
What I can tell you is that if you like, there's a website or like a YouTube page called Bad Lip Reading. They do it for a lot of NFL stuff. They did it for the altercation of Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy, and it is worth it's worth hanging out and checking that out, because that's honestly the only good thing to have come out of this, besides the fact that these people are just ridiculous in front of us, and hopefully they will just come again. At best, we hope they just come to a standstill and don't get anything done. That's the best case scenario
for the next 2 years. Even in that scenario, we hit the debt ceiling crisis and all of a sudden we fly off a financial cliff. So hopefully they can at least do one thing right and raise the debt ceiling so the country doesn't default on its debt.
Do you imagine the concessions that Speaker McCarthy will have to give
a plan
to
around
make sure that?
That
all this stuff works?
A plan around that scenario is on that 3-page hidden document that we, the American public, didn't get to see. The Kevin McCarthy struck this deal with the furthest right fringe members of the House of Representatives, and it's going to be fascinating when those details come out, because eventually they will. It's not going to be like the JFK files that we're still waiting to get dropped. We're going to find out what's on those 3 pages, and it's going to get leaked. And I just find it very interesting that Kevin McCarthy, because yes, it was comedy to see the bad lip reading video of this altercation on the House floor. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see some good lip reading and find out what
I'd love to know exactly what that was.
Because, again, we laugh because otherwise we're going to cry, folks. This was a far-right holdout takeover on the 2-year anniversary of the Capitol insurrection. The furthest right MAGA Republicans were holding the Congress hostage until Kevin McCarthy met their demands. And he's now Speaker of the House, but we all have to live with the political ramifications that come with the 3-page secret deal that he struck with those fringe members of the House.
So for those of you who were really excited that the Republicans have maintained or seized control of the House, is this what you wanted?
Elon Musk telling you to vote for Republican Congress, you know, check on a Biden White House? Is this what you wanted?
Yeah, they can't even check themselves. They have decided to wreck themselves instead.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to chime in, share a tangent, 844-967-2789. We got a number of other Wisconsin and national headlines we're going to get to on the other side of this break. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You're listening across Civic Media here in Madison on Devil Radio, where Brian is holding down the fort on the Shaw and across the states. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, go to our website, civicmedia.us. You can see all the stations, the programs, and sign up to learn more about us. But Brian, one of the interesting things I saw over the weekends, when not focused on the football games that we're on, was a story that caught my eye because you and I have this conversation quite frequently. How nice
we
it
like
would be.
The trains, man.
Yeah, we are fans of trains here at Dueling Tangents. Not only because we lose our train of thought a lot of times when we're talking about different stories, but also because it would be really convenient. I'm not going to say we're workaholics, because that's a weird word, and every time I think of it, I think of the Comedy Central show instead of actually a workaholic. But if we had the ability to commute back and forth between Madison and Milwaukee and get some work done while we're doing it, we would love that.
Part of the reason why I, you know, sometimes do a show from home a couple days a week is because I actually get more work done because I'm not driving and I can't be on a computer while driving, at least not for long periods of time. Let's not talk about that. It's a... But it's also not because of Thomas the Tank Engine either. I just want to clarify that. It has nothing to do with that. Although they used it very well in Bullet Train, I want to say
still
it's
on my
not
watch
because
list.
Of Thomas the Tank
Engine. I haven't watched it yet.
Don't watch Thomas the Tank Engine. It's not worth getting into. Maybe when Ringo was there, maybe when George Carlin was there. But again, the song is annoying as F, and it's just awful. Don't get it. Like, I just want to separate us from Thomas the Tank Engine for
yes.
sure.
Yes, but we're talking about trains. Thank you, Aaron, for pulling that up in the background.
My poor child was exposed for a moment, and then she
snapped her out of that one real quick.
It was bad, and I got her out of Caillou very quickly as well. Don't ever do that. Don't do the Caillou. Moving on. All right, so trains.
Speaking of trains of thought, but last year in the bipartisan infrastructure law that was signed by President Joe Biden,
$1.2 trillion.
Yeah, and of that $1.2 trillion, $66 billion to expand passenger rail across the country. And so we've got municipalities saying, hey, we'd be interested in learning a little bit more about that to solve our problems, bringing more workforce, being able to free up travel for our residents, just the litany of things that would improve the quality of life. Public transportation is one of those things. And so, Brian, over at the Post Crescent, the Green Bay paper, or excuse me, the Appleton paper, I believe. Green Bay is the Gazette. Post Crescent is Appleton, yes. All aboard, Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, write letter backing Amtrak expansion. So that thing that Devin LeMahieu and Robin Voss said, we don't see any state funds going towards passenger rail.
We don't hear any interest for it. But literally, they signed an official letter declaring official interest in it. And this is seven different mayors of different
the municipal leaders of the seven Northeast Wisconsin's largest cities. So. Yeah. This isn't Madison and Milwaukee talking. This is the Fox Valley talking and saying, we would like passenger rail from Milwaukee to Green Bay, please.
To Green Bay. Could you imagine going to that horrible game and then having to, you know, take a train? But it was better taking a train back than driving back, because then you're just driving back in silence. At least in the train, you could sleep, or, you know, you could actually bring your own alcoholic beverages sometimes. Or you can purchase them on the train. The train actually supplies you with those things.
Yeah. And so...
amazing.
More widespread support for bringing passenger rail, expanding passenger rail here in Wisconsin. I wonder if the Republicans are going to heed these calls. Because I've already seen... one of the things that... the reasons this story caught my eye is because conservative pundits online were saying, oh, yeah. Exactly what Wisconsin needs to address its problems. A train, a 1900s technology to address our 21st century problems. And yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what are your solutions?
The Model T was made in 1910.
if you really think
it was 1914,
that expanding
maybe 14,
the freeway between Miller Park and the zoo, from the Marquette Interchange to the zoo interchange in Milwaukee along I-94, about a 3.5 mile stretch, going to cost about $1 billion to expand that 3.5 mile stretch of freeway from 6 lanes to 8 lanes. If you think that is your solution to addressing mass transit, $1 billion on that project alone, but not entertaining the idea of what a passenger rail through the Fox Valley, this corridor from Milwaukee to Green Bay, would mean to address workforce shortages, cut down on carbon emissions, because you're removing all of those cars from the freeway. You wouldn't have to spend the upkeep on the freeways because there would be fewer cars. It's ridiculous to act like this is a non-starter, but that's where Republicans and conservatives are here in Wisconsin.
Here's some numbers running it down. Amtrak project extending service from Milwaukee to both Madison and Green Bay would have a combined $2.3 billion economic impact just from the one-time capital investments necessary to operate the service. The Green Bay expansion, Amtrak estimates, will generate $1.8 billion in economic activity from capital investments and an annual impact of $70 million. The Madison expansion, Amtrak estimates, would generate $567 million of activity from one-time capital investments and have an annual impact of $43 million. I gotta tell you, those numbers are better than Foxconn.
Yeah, way better than Foxconn. So the fact that for whatever reason, the just wanting to have to actually do their jobs and pass legislation, I guess that's their biggest reason to oppose this, because that's Republicans are just saying no. It's a non-starter. No, we're not going to do this. Devin LeMahieu, Robin Voss, we have a $6.9 billion surplus. Medicaid returns are expected to increase even more than previously projected earlier this year or early last year, Brian. So that $6.6 billion surplus is up to $6.9 now. We have the money to invest in these solutions, folks.
This also isn't even state funding. It's federal funding. Just take the money and do it. See what happens.
Folks,
you can afford not to.
This is Dueling Tangents. We're going to continue the conversation, get to your phone calls when we get back. Stay tuned.
I like trains.
Rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky. Back roads are bogging up my buddies.
Welcome back to Sesame Street here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That sounds like a hey, let's go to country on Sesame Street type of song. I'm sorry if anyone's liking that. And I've heard very
good. Come on, listen, it's Luke Bryan.
It is. It is Luke Bryan. Yeah, that's that's a guy. Okay. Listen.
You're not a huge fan?
I'm not. I've heard a lot of country that I've enjoyed.
Okay.
And I'm not the blanket, I don't like country in general, but I don't. Yeah. But I do, every time I have the opportunity, especially with somebody who really is into country.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when Joe Sepecki comes on.
Yeah.
And especially when I'm producing, he recommends stuff that he is totally into. And I love it because I get to see him get totally into it. And seeing it through somebody else's eyes helps me appreciate it and love it a lot more. Because of him, Chris Stapleton, I'm really into, not necessarily into, but I'll be into not hating that when I hear it, have it on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's that stuff I'm into, that type of stuff. But in general, it's not my bag. But again, I love appreciating it through other people.
Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can hopefully appreciate the headlines through the two of us. Or if you'd like to participate, you can as well through call or text 844-967-2789. You could be like our friend Dick here in Madison. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Can I speak to the train just for a second for my original
thought?
Please.
Yeah.
Well, you know, during the holiday, some of what happened with Southwest was induced by extreme weather that keeps planes from flying. Now, I don't know too many extreme weather situations, except maybe massive flooding, that stop trains. They can go through a snowstorm with very little problem.
There's an entire show devoted to
Snowpiercer.
A train going through snow. So, right. You know it's real.
So, you know, but that said, what I was originally going to say is that it's funny, you know, this thing over the weekend, like you said, you'd normally cry if you didn't think about some of the ironic or funny parts of it. One of them being that a lot of these people were involved in one way, shape, or form in January 6th. And I don't think that Ronald Reagan, when he's talked about that country or city on the Shining Hill, was talking about exporting this type of thing to Brazil. Do you?
No, and to be fair, I'm not sure that Ronald Reagan really knew what he was saying in the first place. So either way, it could have. Well, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot. It's a possibility. It could have been someone else.
Somebody in the writer's room was feeding him those lines, Dick. That's what Brian's trying to say.
And there's a possibility, and that's fine. That's fine because he's doing what he does best, and that's reading the lines that he's given. So good for him.
Or rearranging the trees on the shelf. That's how he started referring to books.
We're getting in because of an Iran-Contra affair. It's fine. It's totally fine. We'll not talk about the Iran-Contra affair again.
But, you know, it is kind
until
of
tomorrow.
Strange, isn't it?
It is strange,
and it is very strange, Dick, that Bolsonaro is finding refuge in Florida right now with a conservative governor, Ron DeSantis, and him walking around. I believe he's been hospitalized, though, as well. I haven't had a chance to dive into all the details on that one, Dick, but I do find that strange.
You know what would be really funny in all of this? If Bolsonaro comes here for help, ends up getting hospitalized, and he gets ruined, not because of the scandals or the bad things that he's done, but because financially he can't afford the American healthcare system.
out of network right now. He's just out of network. I don't know how else to explain it to you, Brian.
Bringing up a fun schadenfreude from the weekend, I just want to bring up Katie Porter and the wonderful book that she was reading.
Yeah. The Mark... who's the author of that one?
This is... I'm reading in...
It's not Manning.
Manson.
Manson. Yeah.
Manson.
Yeah.
Mark Manson.
The
subtle art of not giving a
letter of the alphabet.
Usually it's flying. Usually it's flying, from what I understand.
Yeah. It's the it was an excellent shot. That Getty image is going to be probably archived in the with the history books on how this speaker vote went. Because again, first time in like 150 years that it took 15 ballots to elect a speaker of the House.
Congratulations, Republicans.
And that Republican infighting on full display. But Brian, one of the and I do want to share one last thing from the Friday charades, shenanigans, whatever you want to call them. We've got an alphabet. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries shared this in a speech late Friday night or early Saturday morning, and it was a pretty interesting one. So let's share that one, Aaron, with the people.
House Democrats will always put American values over autocracy, benevolence over bigotry, the Constitution over the cult, democracy over demagogues, economic opportunity over extremism, freedom over fascism, governing over gaslighting, hopefulness over hatred, inclusion over isolation, justice over judicial overreach, knowledge over kangaroo courts, liberty over limitation, maturity over Mar-a-Lago, normalcy over negativity, opportunity over obstruction, people over politics, quality of life issues over QAnon, reason over racism, substance over slander, triumph over tyranny, understanding over ugliness, voting rights over voter suppression, working families over the well-connected, xenial over xenophobia, yes we can over you can't do it, and zealous representation over zero-sum confrontation.
No,
I see what you were doing there. I see
you referenced that. Sesame Street, so I felt like we had to play it. But I feel like you could have stopped after the first three or four and done just the ABCs. But it's good to know that the congressional the congressional staffers for the House the House Democrats, while the Republicans were doing all this infighting and forcing 15 votes. Seems like this is how they may have spent their time last week, because Kevin McCarthy did not have control of Congress and it was running amok. So they at least had a creative outlet, Brian.
No, that's good. it was great. I was like,
he's gonna do all 26. He's gonna do the whole alphabet. Yeah,
the whole alphabet. That's at the point during the recital where you go and look at the program and go, okay, what song is next? All right. Okay, we got a couple hours left before this is done. Good thing I'm sitting in. This is somehow, for whatever reason, whenever those speeches are going, I guarantee you that everybody in that room was way too warm for whatever. Like, no, it's always like yawning. There's a certain like warmth that you get when it's warm enough to yawn, and that's when people give speeches like that. And don't get me wrong, I love Hakeem Jeffries. He's fantastic. If you watched him during the impeachment, he's great.
A terrific job.
I like Hakeem Jeffries. He's good. Could have just done a couple of those and then moved on.
He could have just done the ABCs rather than doing the whole alphabet. That's all. This is my contention. But
it's just, folks, it's just Family Guy was like, that's too much. for Robert Loggia.
Oh my God!
It's Robert Loggia.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
You're going to do the whole thing?
No, we're going to stop you right there. We're going to cut you off right there.
Like, normally that would cut away. It would be a cutaway.
Yeah.
And no.
I'm Luke. He's Brian. Before we jump to our next tangent, we're going to head back over to the phone lines. We've got Carolyn here in Madison calling in. Carolyn, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I just went to the Devil's page and clicked the contacts link on the far right there and posted a link to a petition for trains. Yes, trains. Or something. Anyway, there's a link there. If anybody wants to sign that petition, it's there if they want to. Okay.
Oh, perfect.
From Care2.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Yeah, if you... there are public commenting windows, and petitions are a great way to do it as well, but the Department of Transportation and the entire federal government is reviewing right now how to allocate the funds that the bipartisan infrastructure law has put towards passenger rail coming up in the upcoming years. I believe it's a 5-year plan. I'm not exactly sure on the timeline, but right now is why cities like Appleton, Green Bay, Oshkosh in the Fox Valley corridor are saying, yes, please, we're signing a letter, we're sending it to you to bring passenger rail here. And petitions are a great way to do that, finding out where and when the public listening sessions are for things like this. Governor Tony Evers right now doing a Do the Right Thing tour, listening to Wisconsinites of what they want in the next budget proposal that he will present as governor next month. Good government can happen if you participate, and that's a key part of it.
To that end, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about the trains, the corridor between downtown and Miller Park and the expansion there. They had a couple of they've had several listening sessions around the state, or around the area at least, for input, public input about that. Now I bring this up because part of one of the solutions that they were talking about for this corridor involved investment in public transportation as well as improvement to the roadway, keeping it at 6 lanes, but also adding public transit and a public transit option. This is something that, so my point is that by participating in one thing, you're talking about the corridor, you can also bring up another subject that is also interconnected in public transportation. You can also pull an official aside and say, hey, how do we get going on this train? There's opportunities out there. Even if the Republican legislator wants to go and not meet or not show up, you can always pull actual officials aside because they do have jobs that they have to do, and they do have listening sessions that are open to the public. I encourage you to show up and participate. And by the way, the last couple of sessions they had were really well participated with. Like a couple hundred people showed up. So get your eye. If you have a great idea, go out there and present it to someone.
Yeah, and go and talk about it with members of your community, because that is how you advance issues that you care about. Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Andy in Watertown calling in. Andy, what's on your mind today?
Well, I keep hearing the hourly news, and there's an item on there where the news reader says that somebody apparently is looking into whether there's anything criminal about Donald Trump trying to overturn the election. Now, I would think that overturning an election in itself would be a crime.
You would think. I mean, or the attempt thereof, or the ability to go in, or the you know, you can't really go and say, I didn't get away with murdering him, so... I brought up with Matt Rothschild last week. I said, hey, good thing there's not an attempted murder charge. So, there is. There's a whole bunch. There's attempted burglary charges. There's also. It would also stand to reason that maybe there should be an attempted overthrow charge. You would think. I would hope so.
I believe. Attempted insurrection should be viewed just one mind, not completely, maybe on the level of insurrection, but attempted insurrection should be just like half a step down there. Just because attempted murder isn't as bad as murder, but attempted insurrection should have some kind of consequence. There needs to be investigations and accountability there.
I'd love to know what people who were skeptical or like still Donald Trump supportive right now, I wonder what they would think about the Brazilian thing right now. I wonder what they would think, or I wonder if they'd see that and go, that's crazy. You know what I mean? I wonder how much self-awareness there's actually there. Or if they're like, wow, those patriots are really destroying their capital.
Brian, are you ready for that much disappointment after the Patriots lost still? You're going to be surprised.
I have managed those expectations, my friend, and trust me, I have managed these. I am only in this whole thing for the entertainment value, and I can only eat so much popcorn, but snacks are definitely something that I'll be snacking on.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to follow the show, keep up with us online at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. You can also follow the network at Civic Media US, the variety of different shows across the network. You can find us on our website, civicmedia.us. If you missed any portion of this show or want to just check out a past show, go to our entire podcast library. You can find us at Spotify, on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts, everywhere, or again, just go to the website. The podcast library is there, civicmedia.us. Brian, we got one more segment left in the day. We're going to try to do a little bit of a round robin with all the other Wisconsin stories we didn't quite get to yet today. But folks, there's still plenty of time for your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We didn't even get to the farming story for rain being a good thing. That's
Shout out to the Hidden Village of the Dead.
It's the downfall of the tangents sometimes. Dueling Tangents will be right back. Final segment of the day. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm L, he's B. Luke and Brian.
This seems like a really an amazing intro. I feel like it's a pretty amazing time to be alive here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Well, this one caught my eye and it caught your eye as well, because today, Governor Tony Evers appointed...
That's not all that caught my eye, young lady.
James Bond is going to be the nominee to run the Department of Veterans Affairs here in Wisconsin. Thank you, Aaron.
I thought you were going to say Peter Gunn.
No, but not that James Bond, not 007. James Bond here in Wisconsin, he served in the United States Marine Corps from 1983 to 1988. He's a disabled veteran, and he will be the first openly LGBTQ department secretary here for the state of Wisconsin if he can face the gauntlet that is the Republican-led Senate. Because, Brian, they don't just let anybody through there. They kind of just sit on about 180 nominations and then don't do their job of confirming them.
I hope he brought a bunch of books, like lots of books, and just to wait. Like
the subtle art of not giving an F.
Yeah, like several books. Honestly, he should probably start reading the entirety of Lord of the Rings just to begin with, and then get into the Wheel of Time series. That's at least 14 books. So
there you go.
By that point, they might have moved on to the first nominee by that point. He's down the list, but I wish him luck as the potential person who could possibly run the Department of Veterans Affairs. Great.
Yeah. So depending on how to it that State Senator Devin Lemahieu, however it's pronounced.
Lemon poo.
One day I'm going to learn it, Brian. Don't worry. I promise you, one day I will learn it.
It's like Berlin. It's really Berlin, but then they say it's Berlin.
But whether or not he's feeling
everybody
up to
else
it,
I know that has that name is Lemahieu, or I know I'm saying it wrong. Lemahieu. Everybody I know
I've always heard it as Lemahieu, and then you told me I was saying it wrong.
I know, but he goes by Lemahieu, and I just think that that's like one of those, I'm just going to see if I can make people do stuff thing. I guarantee, like, I don't know. It just seems like one of those, like, no, my name's Daryl. No, it's Daryl. Daryl.
Come on, Aaron, you know what your name is.
You got messed up, Aaron!
Yeah, call back to the first part, because
we're all living in a Key and Peele skit.
Yep, that we're all living in all of it.
All of it. But Brian, so that is what's going on at the Department of Veterans Affairs today.
Yeah, that was just Bond's quote. That's fine.
There you go. Just dropping those Bond's cuts. That's all good. But one of the other stories caught my eye over the weekend, and going to be fascinated to see what the Republican solution to this is, because they've been in charge of the state legislature for more than a decade now. Going on 12 years of joint control of the state legislature. And Wisconsin dairy farm losses hit a 3-year high as more call it quits. What is the path forward? This is a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brian. And I'm going to start pulling my hair out if the Republican response from Voss and Lemahieu are tax cuts. Because it's not the
you can't cut nothing.
it's not the this year is an interesting year for this story, Brian, because over the last 3 years, we've continually, end of the year, we see that the previous year was setting records for closures of dairy farms or small family farms here in Wisconsin. The iconic vision of what Wisconsin is to a lot of other people around the state. We are America's Dairyland. It is on all of our license plates. It is part of the core identity of what makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin. And Republican legislators are doing nothing to solve these problems. Because I will grant you this. Last year, we had a surplus. They could have come up with a conservative solution to addressing family farm closures here in Wisconsin. They packed up shop in the first week of March. If they were serious about addressing problems like this one facing the state, problems like an aging workforce where we're going to lose about 130,000 workers by 2030, according to new studies, they'd be working their asses off trying to solve these problems. But the budget's going to come, and it's going to be, well, we cut their taxes. We did everything we know how to do. We've got no other answers. And that is not acceptable. Because tax cuts aren't going to get us out of all these problems. Investing in our workforce, investing in our citizens here in Wisconsin, our residents, and our family farmers, takes a lot more than just saying, well, I cut the taxes. We made a flat tax. It's more fair. It's more fair, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the reason why these family farmers are closing is not because it's so hard like in years past. Milk prices were really low and forcing family farms out. Now it's slightly different because family farmers are seeing an off-ramp, Brian, and they're liquidating their assets because right now is a good time to sell. And I can't fault a farmer that's been struggling throughout the last recent years. We had a recession in 2008 and 2009. We had unprecedented economic turmoil over the last 2 years because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's been hard on everyone. And if dairy farmers can get a good price for their herd, selling it for beef or whatever,
or to a large stock corporation, of CAFOs, yeah.
If there is not a way for Republicans to come together with Democrats and a Democratic governor, Tony Evers, to solve problems like this, it is only a matter of time before we lose an iconic aspect of Wisconsin way of life, being America's Dairyland. Because if you don't have any dairy farms, you can't claim that anymore.
Yeah, but you got to understand the iconic identity of the Republicans is that they are rural and they are all, you know, country music listeners and they all love the rural stuff, and those city Democrats can't really possibly ever do anything good for them. So that's literally what they're going to rely on. That's it. That's literally what they're going to rely on is the
owning the libs.
Yeah, that's not even that, but it's the they're not going to have it. It's just, come on, we're always rural always votes red, right? Like, that's literally their plan. They're not going to address it because they traditionally vote red all the time. Until they get voted out of office, they're not going to change anything.
Yeah. And I hope something can change before then, because I have a feeling, Brian, it's going to be a little bit too little too late at that point. Because,
I'm looking for Dr.
again, 3 years, 3-year high for family farm closures around the state of Wisconsin. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We appreciate you tuning in, giving us a call this Monday afternoon. We lost our train of thought one too many times, Brian. We didn't get to the fun story that we'll have to cover tomorrow about conservative school board consortiums. I don't know. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. I'm Luke. He's Brian. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.